Hey, Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard to improve Bitcoin adoption. Right now, the current Bitcoin price is $23,893. One US dollar could buy you 4,185 Satoshis, and the current block height is 748,899. You can listen to Hard Money, Hard Knocks on Fountain app. You could get stream stats for listening, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. And then today, we're going to be having Liz and Jake from Bitcoin Charlotte on to join us. So Liz and Jake, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We were running into some little technical issues before this, so ironed things out, and now looking forward to getting this going. So whoever wants to go first, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your Bitcoin background, kind of when you got into it and all that.
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. So I got in I believe, 2011, late 2010, 2011. And I was orange pilled, if you will, by my brother, my oldest brother, and didn't really get it at all at first. Then the price changed and went up, and I said, "Ooh, I got to take notice," which is a typical theme amongst people that come to the meetup. There's some sort of price change. And then they start wanting to understand more. So that's what happened to me when I got into it, and I could not get enough. For years, I was just digging and digging and digging as far as collecting information, wanting to learn as much as I could. And in 2013, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and started a meetup here. And we've been running, late 2013, we've been running that ever since.
Right on. And Liz?
Yeah, this is my brother, if you haven't figured that out. So I actually have two more older brothers. So I've known about Bitcoin for, I guess, about 2011, what Jacob said, but it wasn't something I was super interested in at the time. Just kind of heard about it from them and kind of thought they were all crazy. And then it really wasn't until about 2020 for me. I quit my job as a civil engineer up near DC at a DOT there. And really it was when the stimulus checks started coming out, and I just kind of had this light bulb go off. I was like, this doesn't seem right. It seems kind of crazy. So then I started listening to Bitcoin podcasts from a long time ago and kind of went down the rabbit hole. I mean, I definitely consider myself still learning. And then after I quit my job, Jacob asked me if I wanted to help grow the group because I really like bringing people together. And so been doing that ever since.
Right on. Yeah. That when they started printing money and everything, it was just insane. And I wish I just got into Bitcoin in February of 2021. So unfortunately, I wasn't at the point when I was getting those stimulus checks and I didn't know about Bitcoin. So I wish I would have, but I wish I would have known about it 10 years ago too. So should have, would have, could have. I'm still early and it's a great time to be getting involved. So, what is your guys' favorite aspect of Bitcoin? What rabbit hole do you really enjoy going down in your free time? You know, Lightning Network, mining, whatever it may be.
That's a difficult question for me because it's changed a lot through it. So I'll go back to the beginning and kind of talk about the main stuff for me, which was this was a system that brought more freedom to me and more. It couldn't go down. There was a scarce limit. You know, 21 million, and my realization of no one be able to steal my money through inflation or printing more dollars, system that never went down, and then there's rulers that there's no rulers to this system, that caught a hold of me, and so then technically, so I'm a web developer. I was a web developer for ran my own web company for years, so I have a technical side to me, and so then I started, digging, and there's got to be a flaw to this. There's got to be something wrong. And then I found people that were a lot smarter than me in the Bitcoin space that couldn't find anything wrong with it either. And that's the main aspect that I is like my core. And through that, it's my indirect way to hopefully see the world change socially, economically, politically, all the spectrum. I see it just changing everything. So that's what really pulled me into Bitcoin. And now that's really what I talk to people now about. It's the very same argument. Say, hey, you don't have to have your value stolen every day, every paycheck. when they're printing more dollars, and it usually catches hold depending on how I deliver it. But we can get back, we can get into that a little later if you want, about how our orange pill methods are going and strategies we use.
Yeah, you know, when you start explaining Bitcoin to people, you know, just the basics of it, trying to just, you know, just the short little bits that really hook people, it sounds too good to be true. It sounds like no way can something like this exist. But I mean, try go if you're a Bitcoin denier, go try to prove it wrong, you know, and that'll just make your conviction go stronger. Because I mean, I'm no web, you know, code writer or nothing, but so far what I've been seeing, Bitcoin's yet to make me think, oh, I'm not too sure about this. So yeah, that's such a fascinating thing to, you know, when you're first getting involved and start thinking like, wow, like it doesn't seem like much is wrong with this. Like it seems, you know, perfect, and which it truly is.
And if there is something wrong, please find the problem and steal all the money, like break it. And people kind of maybe forget that about Bitcoin, that it's up all the time and being, you know, there's a huge reward for any sort of flaw. So people are trying to take this, and they usually what happens now is they find that it's not broken. So they try to scam other people. So now it's all about better security and being smart out there and not getting fished and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And Liz?
Yeah, I would say for me is kind of what Jake said at the beginning, just personal freedom. I mean, Bitcoin has allowed me to, you know, work on things that I care about more. So just having more freedom. And also the aspect, I think a lot of people get confused, like, especially when the price goes up, but it's like, oh, I'm too late or I can't get involved. But that's just not the case. I mean, if you have a, you know, a dollar a week that you can put in, invest in Bitcoin, it could change your life down the road and, you know, create general wealth for your family as well.
Yeah. Even like thinking on Cash App, when I ever use my debit card, I get roundups. And just thinking like those small little roundups, how often those can add up? Because I don't have cash on me very often, like most people. So those roundups are adding up. I'm like, wow, that's a great way to DCA a little bit, you know, when I can't necessarily be putting a whole lot to it. So so many great ways to start getting your toes wet and getting involved, starting to buy Bitcoin. And such a great time to be involved.
Yeah, and people think that little amount maybe doesn't matter. And I get this all the time because I've been in this space a lot. Two things to that. One is it does matter. You're getting a piece of this pie that is completely scarce. You own it. And if you own one Satoshi, it's the exact same thing that Michael Saylor owns. He owns more of them, but you're in the same system. You have the same thing. There's no difference in control over what you're doing. The other thing is when you get in early, a lot of people say, I wish I got in early. And they just assume that people that got on early were smart enough to hold it that whole time. It was a long journey and a lot of grit to not selling. And then also a lot of mistakes in selling and buying shit coins and trying to learn about shit coins. Oh man, it's been a hell of a journey. So you never assume what anybody has or doesn't have as far as this, and that's which also makes it so great because it can be a very private and freedom, financial freedom type vehicle there as far as keeping things hidden, because you know it's awesome that way. So
yeah, there's a guy kind of a mentor in my life, and about 20, 30 years older than me. And he was like, yeah, man, I bought some Bitcoin the other day, and the guy has some good money to him. So I'm thinking like, oh man, like, you know, I wonder how much. And he's like, yeah, I bought like $1,000 worth. And it's like, dang, like I really do have a chance right now. You know, if, like wealthier people aren't going too nuts on it, you know, like just still so much time right now. And especially at these prices, I got in and it was around $50,000. So to think that I'm seeing prices in the 20s is absolutely mind-blowing. I never thought I'd see this price. So I'm just so fortunate and grateful to be here right now.
I think that's an amazing mentality. We are so fortunate and grateful to be at this paradigm shift from creating money, like true actual money. The humanity is this is a discovery, and we have the ability to change, you know, this your particular community, your family, or just you. It's still early. So, and yeah. So in the meetup, we try not to get too caught up on that, but it's just a reality. Like if you get in this space and you're able to get some, you might just become rich too. In you know, the long term, if you can have that vision and that fortitude to keep hodling. So
true. And then Liz, why don't you start off and let us know who have been some vital figures in your growth of Bitcoin knowledge?
One's right next to me. I would definitely say my family. My brothers have definitely been a huge impact on me. We've started a book club, so I have started reading a lot of the beginner books like Thank God for Bitcoin, Jimmy Song. But honestly, the people in our community have been the biggest wealth of knowledge for me. I mean, we have a lot of members in our group that if I have questions, I go straight to them. I mean, in our Telegram group, we have a big group and we just ask there. And so usually I just go to my community for people to learn more.
Mm-hmm. And Jake?
Yeah, I was going to answer it almost the exact same way. When I started, it was when I really started diving in, it was my older brother. And he really helped us get it going. But I mean, I really think about like Andreas Antonopoulos videos early on. He was really a big figure. And although Roger Ver has changed a little bit, he was a huge figure early on. And you know, great ideals. I'm sure I'm missing some that early on. But beyond that, yeah, it's the meetup. And now this book club that we're running has started to really help me a lot. I've owned all these Bitcoin books for so long, and I always buy them because I want to support the people that make these books. But I'm not a big reader, so we set this Bitcoin book club meetup. We do about probably once a month, and it's really helped out a lot. Thank God for Bitcoin was one of my favorite that we've done. But we've done the Little Bitcoin book, the Bitcoin Standard, and I'm missing one. Layered Money. We read, I think, and one of
the Price of Tomorrow.
Price of Tomorrow.
Price of Tomorrow, yeah. Is a really good one.
Yeah, that's too. The other one I really like too. So
I really enjoy
those. Are all really big influencers for me as well.
I think the Block Size Wars is a really great intro to getting more knowledge on the difference between Bitcoin and crypto. So maybe add that one to your future list too, because I'm not a big reader myself, but that having a book club would be a great idea. Something that kind of forced me to get more involved reading. I'm more of an audiobook person myself, so it allows me to retain the information a little better. I read a page and I'm like, "Yeah, what was that?" So
yeah, you can listen to the books too. That's what yeah, I've been, yeah. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, and we do it on Twitter Spaces too, so anyone's welcome to lurk and be on there. And I'm really glad you mentioned that book. I forgot about that. I think we're gonna do that coming up. I think next we're gonna do Satoshi, and it's a fiction because we've been reading all these. It feels like it's kind of repeating because we're reading all these ones that are, they're just more serious things. So we need something to mix it up. And well, they're great. But so Satoshi, I think it's called, which is this fictional story about who Satoshi is. And then I like the Block Size Wars. And then some of our members recommended Bitcoin is Venice.
Yes.
And then the seven properties. So yeah, if you want to listen to those and jump on in. It'd be great to have you. It's a fun discussion. We do it for about an hour on Mondays. So
one of these days I'll definitely have to hop in.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out.
I want to ask, well, what for you, who have you learned from on your Bitcoin journey?
The Bitcoin Standard. I remember just kind of reading about Saifedean, and then I'd go to YouTube videos on him and I'd listen to him talk, debate like Peter Schiff and stuff, and the Bitcoin versus gold debate. And Saifedean Ammous, the Bitcoin Standard author, was just such an influential person in my growth of knowledge. But other than that, it's just kind of been all over the place. It's changed so much too. My short little time is, you start kind of hearing those like, oh, he's a shitcoin or whatever, and it's like, no, I don't want to believe he is. And then time goes on, and it's like, oh, he is. But, Peter McCormick did great stuff for, introduction to Bitcoin stuff for myself. And then the Citadel Dispatch, I always enjoy those ones because it really challenges my knowledge in a different way. And not so much on just like how, Bitcoin works, whatever, but more of like, how can I best use Bitcoin and learn, help me learn new challenges that way, like privacy, and really helped me kind of get going with my node and learning about that some. So I always found that Citadel Dispatch really helpful as well.
Cool.
And so why don't we go ahead and start getting into your guys' meetup now and tell us a little bit about how long it's been going on and what made you guys start doing it.
I guess I'll pick up that one since I started. So late 2013, I moved here. Why I started doing it was because there was so much misinformation out there about what Bitcoin was. At that time, it was basically it's used for drugs, really dirty word. And I hosted meetups because I want to say, yes, it is used for drugs, but it's used for all sorts of other things too. It's an excellent, excellent tool.
And so I was a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. So is the dollar. And so we would we had meetups about that. We had pretty regular new people, but it was much smaller scale. We'd have about three or four core people that were there every time, and then we'd have maybe one or two others that would come in. And we did that every other week, or even there was a time there where we were doing like every week. And we did that up until about 2017. 2017, we had some big presentations. We were lucky enough to have Safeteen come in and give a speech. And then we also had Jimmy Kong come in. And then I had life happen to me, and I kind of dipped out for about two years. I kept the meetup going on Bitcoin.com, but we had maybe two or three meetups in between that two-year time frame. And then Liz moved here from D.C., and COVID happened, so we were like, man, we need to get community back going again. And and we've been riding that momentum ever since. We started in November 2020, and we had a meetup of about five people, I think. And now we're getting people out, and we're getting probably at least 15 people per meetup on our normal meetup, which is called Saturday Sats. But I'll let you kind of pick up from there since I'm talking and hogging everything.
Yeah, I mean, like Jake said, we started back in 2020, and there are about five people around a table. And now, yeah, we get about 15 to 20 people. We have social meetups every second and fourth Saturday. And we do those at a brewery that we just recently switched to because they're actually accepting Bitcoin, which we're really excited about. So we got them set up through IBEX.
Yep.
And then in addition to that, our goal at first was to have one additional meetup a month. That's kind of changed a little bit. It's just based on if people are coming into town or what people want to learn about, and we kind of just go from there. But for me, it was, my whole purpose was, hey, we can learn about Bitcoin, but also have fun. So, I mean, sometimes we go to meetups and they're going down, you know, topics that I don't know a lot about, and I don't want to scare people away. So we can also have fun and learn about Bitcoin. So we have social meetups. We just had one at the Charlotte Knights baseball stadium, and it was a great turnout. We had about 45 people there. And it's interesting, when we do different meetups, we get different people to show up too. I mean, we had a lot of new people at the baseball game that have never come to a meetup, and they were really interested in coming to go to a sporting event. And then we've had meetups at volunteering. We've volunteered at Operation Christmas Child, where we help put gifts in a shoebox that get shipped overseas. And same thing, we had a lot of new people. We also had a Christmas party this year where we did a Bitcoin gift exchange and new people, and that was just a lot of fun. And we also at these meetups try and showcase our members. So for instance, at the Christmas party, we had one of our members, Michael Marion, give a speech, and he gave a great speech. So, you know, we're trying to educate people but also have fun along the way. And for me, the Bitcoin community has just been great. I mean, that's why I keep coming back to these meetings. I mean, it's some of the most smart people I've ever met, people passionate about changing the world, and I mean, extremely humble. So
yeah, so many different. Weird. What was that, Jake?
I said pretty weird. Some weirdos out there too. But I'm one of them. Okay.
I've been blown away at the people I meet through these meetups. Just so many people, like you said, so many more people that are smarter than me who I get to learn from. And, you know, there are a lot of topics that challenge my brain, and I really got to think hard about what they're talking about. And normally I got to hear it another time or two later on and to be able to learn more. But And I was really impressed. I saw your guys' picture of the Knights game, and I was like, wow, that's a great turnout for that. And it's really getting me thinking of how I could do more stuff like that, because that's a great idea, just to try to get more people involved and not do the same old thing. So especially with the University of Tennessee right here, sure, I could find something soon.
Yeah. And I mean, it really feels to me like we've been building, like, you know, community, but really we've almost become a family. I mean, Jake and I were out socially at a soccer game the other day, and somebody walked by and said hi to us. That was from our Bitcoin group. So it's really been great just creating community.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been very important for me. When I first started, I kind of isolated the Bitcoin group, the Bitcoiners, as like this separate thing that I did. And now it's merged into my every part of my life. Like, these are the people that, you know, I choose to go hang out with a lot of the time outside of Bitcoin. And so it's been really, really great the last few years.
Yeah. You know, like, building a community, my fiance and I just moved to Knoxville like 6 months ago, and my co-organizer of this group, who we connected because he was wanting to start up a meetup at the same time. So I was like, hey, why, you know, butt heads and let's work together. So he's got a fiance, and we're both, you know, we're all around the same age, and we've ended up making some new friends in a new city. And it's been really great for us to kind of adapt. And, you know, who would have thought that Bitcoin would be providing that for us, you know, especially when you see these meetups. So let's be real, there are a lot of males there. So the fact that we're able to connect our fiancés as well and give them some friendship has been a really cool experience. And just, you know, it makes me that much more grateful that I've been doing these meetups. And because I've been able to build relationships like that, and, you know, just other guys as well who have been coming. And just, I know with more and more time, you know, we'll definitely be building stronger relationships as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good point you made about the female side of this too. There historically has not been a lot of females or girls interested in coming to these meetups, but that's something that I don't think Liz realizes how much it's changed the dynamic here. People come in, and you're here, and you give this whole other energy to the group, which is really awesome. And it makes other women feel comfortable coming as well. And that night's game was a example of that. We had a pretty mixed group. It's very, very odd to have. So,
yeah, and I mean, that's something I've actually been trying to do is, you know, to get more women to come if they're interested, because we've gotten some feedback that some women get intimidated just to come to one of these meetings. So just trying to create like a, you know, more fun, safe space that anybody can come, you know, and feel welcome.
Yeah. And then, so what has been like the age range for your attendees that have been coming so far?
We get anywhere, I would say. I mean, well, sometimes we get people's kids to come, but anywhere. It's usually around, like, you know, around in their 20s to, we have a couple that comes that I think is in their 60s that they come pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So it's all over the place. I mean, I think average is probably 20s and 30s, I would guess. But
yeah, I would say, yeah, it's like 30. 30 is like right in the medium age there. We've had some older gentlemen that are definitely in their 60s or 70s that are frequent. And then, yeah, we had a couple. Rarely when, like, teenagers come out. We've had it a couple times.
Yeah, and we talked about going to colleges, like local colleges here, but we haven't really done that yet. But I think that would probably be a good way to get younger people involved.
Yeah, I think about, like, you know, hitting up the computer science program director or whatever at one of the colleges and just trying to get my foot in the door somehow. I need to find a way to go sticker bomb the campus or something.
Yeah.
But it's cool that these, you know, older folks are coming out to these meetups. You know, who would have thought that, you know, I never would have guessed that they would be coming out. And so to think that they're eager to learn, it just gives me a lot of hope that it's not just the young people's money. And, you know, it is something that the world is waking up to.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny because they come to the meetings and bring their son sometimes, and they try and orange pill him.
Which is so weird for us because we have to orange pill our parents. But they're the exact opposite. So.
Yeah.
And then what do you feel like your group provides the best experience for guests? What do you like, what are you proud of that your group does?
So we have these socials, they're pretty laid back. We get in there and I have a little blueprint that I do, which I did for a while, but we don't always do it. We kind of judge the vibe and kind of when people are showing up because we're pretty loose on our schedule and stuff, but we basically come in there and I try to say something about gather one together and say something about Bitcoin. And that's something I used to read. A lot of times now though, we'll talk about events we have coming up, maybe some news, just something quick to get everyone to context switch from where they were and get them back into, you know, hey, we're here to talk about Bitcoin, things related to Bitcoin. And after that, I try to get a picture so we can document that and help our social media see show people that we're actually doing stuff. And then beyond that, we just sometimes we'll kind of have like a whole group talk, and like have one person talking, everyone kind of listening, but usually breaks up into just casually going to the group that you want to. Miners kind of talk about their mining stuff and traders. Sometimes some shitcoiners will go talk about their things they're doing. And then I love talking to beginners, so I usually try to find the new people and see what got them in. And I know that I didn't really answer the question directly, but I like that we consistently have those socials and they've been something that you can depend on for a really long time now. And then we don't really push anybody to do any specific, you know, way. I don't think we're too hostile either. We would joke with the Raleigh group a lot. They're kind of a rival meetup group because they're super maxis up there. And we are too, but we're just a little nicer to the newcomers and people that are might be in Ethereum and other coins, so NFTs.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say really quick, once you guys have, moved to the brewery where you could pay with Bitcoin, like that's going to be a great experience as you guys provide in the future. You know what? That's such an orange pill moment for a lot of people and a great learning opportunity that you guys will be able to provide as well.
We're
there now. We are at the brewery and it's great. I mean, that's my favorite way to orange pill people because I have so many people that say, oh, I don't, you know, can't use it. Bitcoin can't be used now. It's like, we can show them. I mean, you can go buy your beer right now with Bitcoin if you just download this wallet. So it's been a really great way to get people, to Orangeville people.
Yeah, and you just actually nailed the thing that I've been mentioning in my part. And every meetup, we called it Saturday Sats. Even before we called it that, every meetup we said, we're going to send you Bitcoin right now. Even when Lightning wasn't around, we said, we're going to send you Bitcoin right now. Open this wallet up. It takes like 2 minutes. Even before Lightning, and you could send it. And so I used to do like orange. I used to do paper wallets that I'd give to people that were preloaded. And I say, hey, get your wallet out. You can take this right now from it. But now we just Lightning network. We're so great and quick. We just get them to download something like Moon or Blue Wallet, and then they're up and running in like 2 or 3 minutes. And it's like, hey, we just sent you some sats. This is it. That's really the moment that I love when I'm talking to beginners. I'm saying, hey, we need a bank. We didn't need a government. We could have been across the planet. We could have sent, millions of dollars through this. And that's what I'm really proud of, that we continue to do that. Now that we have the brewery, it's really, you're seeing a beer come out the other end, which is great. Come back to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd say I'm proud of our group, the community. I mean, when we have these socials, sometimes I don't have all the answers to the questions when a new person comes in, and I'll say, oh, we'll go talk to so-and-so. And these people consistently show up almost every Saturday. There's a core group of people that we have. And I'm just really proud of that. And even when we go to other conferences, I mean, we went down to the Miami conference and we all stayed in a house together. I don't remember how many people it was, but about 14 people.
Yeah.
And people are just so eager to help and to grow this community here and to grow the group and help in any way they can. So that's something I'm really proud of.
Yeah, that's cool. You guys all went down there together.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a pool. We got a really cool, like almost like band shot of us around the pool. It looked like we actually knew what we were doing. yeah, it was fun. Did you go to Bitcoin Miami?
And then, No, it was right after I actually won a free ticket to go, but it was like a month after I moved, and I pretty much dropped everything and gave everything to take this opportunity. So it just wasn't the right time. And I just, you know, I'd rather buy SaaS with that money instead right now at this moment. So
wise.
yeah. So one of these days I'll get there, especially being closer, you know, not so far away. It'll help a little bit. And then what about moving forward? What goals do you have with the group, or don't you have a future event coming up as well?
Oh yeah. We've been, I'm so glad we had this podcast, because it's kind of like our deadline to make sure we get stuff up and running. Two questions. Bitcoin Charlotte, we kind of, all the meetups and that kind of took a back seat for these last couple of weeks, because we've been so focused on our event that we're going to throw called Hodlween. So Hodlween. And we basically want to throw a celebration for Bitcoiners that are been hodling all this time. And we're going to have speakers, and we're also going to have what I'm really excited about is a Bitcoin 101 workshop. We're going to use the community here to teach those classes or workshop. And we haven't gotten all the details. We know what we want to do, but we want it to be very interactive, and even, you know, prepare people coming in for it to say like, hey, have this stuff ready so we can move along quickly. And we can actually show you in real time, like, this is how you use Bitcoin, from buying Bitcoin all the way through to like setting up a node and how to use Bitcoin privately. So they're going to be pretty quick sessions. So it'll be just a kind of a way to dip your toes and to say like, hey, this is it working right in front of your face. And now moving forward, maybe we have, you know, online material for that, or even have more workshops here in Charlotte. And the last part of Hodlween is that we're having a party, and this goes into having fun. And me and Liz tend to want to do this a lot. And this one is for the people that don't care about Bitcoin at all. We're advertising it. We're trying to keep Bitcoin out of it. Yeah. The normies. And, we want them to just come to a really awesome Hodlween party, but when they're there, have subtle things that make them question, oh, wait a second, what does this mean? And we have a bunch of different ideas of how we're going to, you know, give them thrills and surprises with the Bitcoin world when they get in. But we don't want to scare them away and to say, because there are some negative connotations of like, oh, these are traitors, I don't want to be with them, they're nerds, they're whatever. That's in a nutshell what we're doing for Hodlween.
Yeah, and I mean, our tagline is you don't need permission to be your own bank, and you don't need permission to have fun. So if we're gonna, you know, we're all here changing the world, making a difference, let's have some fun while doing it. And also, I mean, this is, I think Jake said this, but it's going to be a Bitcoin only conference put on by Bitcoin Charlotte, and hopefully have some different topics too, you know, not just about price, but how Bitcoin affects our whole society. And also the night before, we're having a Beef Initiative dinner, which we're really excited about, with Texas Slim. So like Jake said, the workshops are going to be put on by people from our group. And so it'll be a great place for people to learn that are just getting started.
Yeah. And we're just getting started with this. This is a big endeavor for us. And we're realizing all the different things that we're having to learn about it. So we have some connections in the Bitcoin space with other conferences, so we're hoping that they can kind of guide us. But we're going full throttle with this.
Full
HODL. Yeah, that's the name of our package pass, right? The full HODL pass. So, but the website is hodlween.party, and all the tickets are live, and we just got that up, and we're going to be updating and advertising this like crazy for the next 2 months.
Are you able to say who the speakers are yet, or are you holding off on that?
So, and we're still in the works right now. I mean, I have a few people that are confirmed, but we're going to hold off for now. But if people are out there and you're interested, please send us a message.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing more about that. And who knows, maybe the time's right, I'll make my way. Do you know how far Charlotte is from Knoxville?
I want to say like 6 hours.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Since you didn't go to Miami, this is a perfect time you can come to this conference.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're not calling it a conference.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get around the conference. So our website, when you go to, the first thing you'll see is Bitcoin only conference, and conference is scratched out. It's a celebration.
Celebration.
Yeah, so we're gonna really try to zone in on that and make the speakers and everything that we do be more interactive, be more, a little more playful. So
yeah, that'll be really cool. You guys have really motivated me to start doing more events, kind of like social events rather than just, you know, meetups. So definitely kind of getting my brain stirring and thinking right now.
In addition, I mean, because we've been so focused on this, something that I'm excited about for Bitcoin Charlotte too is we did get this one brewery on board to accept Bitcoin, but mm-hmm. that's another endeavor that we're really taking in the city of Charlotte just to get other businesses on board to accept Bitcoin. So
yeah,
definitely something that we're still working on.
Yeah, it kind of took a backseat this last month or so, but we have several people lined up that were interested, and we just need to kind of go talk to them and make sure that they understand what they're doing. And again, that's another big learning process for us to see what they have going on their side, their business, their accounting, and how IBEX or OpenNode or Moon or whatever would make sense for them to accept Bitcoin.
Yeah. I set up a brewery in Bakersfield, California. It's called Lengthwise Brewing Company. Bitcoin.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, man, that is great.
So that's
what we got to get inspiring us.
Yeah, he set up a node at his brewery, and now they accept Lightning payments. So, and I helped him out with that process. So it's really cool. I hope one of these days where I have our meetup at in Knoxville, I hope one of these days I could, you know, with time and price action, he'll have the conviction after seeing us around there long enough. And hopefully he'll give us that opportunity to be able to start spending our sats there. So it just provides such a great experience for people. And even if they just have the signs, you know, Bitcoin accepted here, that's such mm-hmm. a, you know, that's somebody's first touch right there. What is that? And so just really awesome. I really hope to try to find somebody here. I went down to the farmer's market, trying to meet a local farmer after Slim came through here and kind of told us how to go about it. So I went down and tried it out. So I need to go give him another visit. I gave him a copy of the Bitcoin Standard. He actually lives right next to a coworker of mine. So he kind of was familiar with Bitcoin. So I look forward to hopefully building that connection and getting him involved with the Beef Initiative. I think that's a really fascinating idea. And just the more, you know, we could decentralize our lives so much in so many different aspects. And food is another way, and I'm really fascinated by that. So it's really cool stuff, and I look forward to keeping up with all that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm really excited that Slim is interested in doing this with us, and I'm excited to eat some meat. Bitcoin got me excited about meat, man. I try to have more and more meat all the time now.
Yeah, for sure.
What is the name of that beer?
It's a Bitcoin Hazy.
Oh, Bitcoin Hazy Ale. That's awesome. Yeah.
On his little description of it, it says, unlike the bitterness you harbor for not investing 10 years ago, this non-fungible hazy IPA is packed full of to-the-moon flavors with Wagmi hype. Bag holders and moon boys alike will enjoy the citrusy hops and Wind Lambo malt flavors. Best enjoyed when studying the chart or listening to your no-coiner friends spewing FUD. Hodl or have fun staying poor. Bitcoin, not crypto.
That's awesome.
Yeah, him and his son, Jack, are the guys who orange pilled me. So really big factor in my Bitcoin journey. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. So to kind of move away from the meetups and just in the Bitcoin space, are there any current projects or events in the Bitcoin space that you're looking forward to?
I'm going to BitBlock Boom, so I'm definitely excited about that event. I'm actually helping volunteer there, so just excited to be there, network with other people.
Yeah, same here. I've got to make sure I get my flight, and I think that's about it I got going on. But I'm going to BitBlock Boom, support her, and just connect with everybody. I had a really good time last year, and just more macro, I guess. I'm really excited about Lightning. And so I've been to El Salvador twice and to Bitcoin Beach, El Zante, and it's awesome down there. And it was so cool to use Bitcoin for almost every transaction that I had down there. And it inspired me to get businesses more on board here and to really learn about what the hurdles are in making that more of a reality everywhere. But man, it works. And I think there's a lot of people out there that like don't understand that. They know it's there, but it works and works fast and works well and it confirms instantly. And it's great. Mm-hmm. So.
And what I like to tell, what I try to talk to businesses about accepting Bitcoin, what I like to tell them is, you know, if you do accept it, it's going to be way, you know, probably even way less than 5% of your overall transactions will be in Bitcoin for, yeah. you know, at least a couple, probably a year, not 2 years, whatever. Right. Like, I mean, I think a year is even too short for that. But, you know, so all you got to do is just hodl that, you know, hope mm-hmm. so. You know, a business owner with a little bit of Bitcoin conviction and, you know, just tell them it's just a small amount of your overall payments and, you know, just sit on it and who knows what will happen. So, and I think about, you know, just the transaction fees and how much they can save with that. And I'm super looking forward to Lightning. I'm a huge Lightning fan. It's kind of really what got me propelled into learning more about Bitcoin and was running a node. And learning about Lightning and everything, because I really had to step out of my comfort zone and learn a lot, because I was a non-techie person trying to do something that's really technical at the time.
Yeah, I haven't spent the time to really investigate. I'm running a node right now, but I just kind of did the bare minimum. I got an important channel open and things just kind of work with it. But I really want to do a lot more with that. So that's exciting. And one of our members and becoming a good friend of mine here developed data analytics for Lightning, which is called Exponential Layers. So I'll give him a little plug because his website's really awesome. It's new, great stats. It's similar to like 1ML. I think that's the website. Super, super cool. I'm so glad that it's here and we were patient and developers did the thing. And this is, it's great. It's working well.
Yeah. And even like what Spiral is going to be coming out with the Lightning developing kit. I think that'll be super beneficial to Lightning Network's growth. And I really look forward to kind of what's coming out with that. And obviously what Jack Mallers announced at the Bitcoin conference, you know, just so many exciting things. And I think the Lightning Network's been around for, you know, a handful of years now. And to think of how much Bitcoin's grown in, you know, 13 years compared to what Lightning Network's been around. Think about how much more in another 5 years. It's just going to be insane to see all that unfold and just be such a beneficial factor for Bitcoin overall, too.
Yep.
And then just what are your final thoughts on the Bitcoin space currently and things happening around the world?
Want me to go? Yeah. What are my thoughts on that? Final thoughts. Education. Other people have been saying this in the space, especially Swan guys and stuff like Swan Bitcoin guys. Education is just really, really important. That's what we're focused on right now. We want to make sure people understand what this is, what it isn't, and how it can change everything. And how you can use it. There's not a big barrier here. It's purposely that way. It's great. And beyond that, education on how to hold your funds, because that if anything is the downside of this new technology. You know, you got to be your own bank, which requires responsibility, and
people don't like that.
Yeah, and people don't like that, and it's, you know, it's so important to what's great, because we have companies like Casa coming out, which allow you to kind of be dumb in this space and have really good security. So I hope that continues to develop, along with, you know, responsibility over your own funds and holding your funds for yourself, self-custody and education, just continue beat that down and keep helping people in that way. I think that's really, really important for us moving forward, because people get so comfortable with keeping their money on exchanges and Coinbase and they don't get why it's bad to keep it there. And so we try to, that's my big thing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say for me, it's a community again, just to, you know, the Bitcoin space has been so great for me, and it's continuously growing, and to keep growing the community, especially, you know, with the current state of the world or the monetary system with inflation. And we have something here right now that we can educate people, and just every little bit, like orange pilling people when you go to a restaurant, and just educating people along the way, and every little bit helps, and growing community. And it's been a community for me that when I felt in a very lonely place, and it's just been a great place to be and very inspiring. So to just keep growing that.
Yeah. You never know when you could be somebody's opportunity to be that first touch. So anytime I get a chance and I can feel like I could say the word Bitcoin, I'm going to say it out there. And if I get a blank stare, I get a blank stare. If I get some intriguing look, I'll try to push it out even more.
Yeah, I mean, that actually happened just recently with our book club. I think it was our first book, and then the next, it was over in January, in December, and the next meeting we had, somebody came that had listened to our book club, and he was in Charlotte. He had never been to a meeting, and he was so grateful to have met Jacob in person and met us in person, and he said we changed his life just by listening to the, reading the book and coming to the Twitter spaces. And he actually, I think, owns his own bank here in Charlotte, and it like completely changed his life. And now he started his own book club, and he's his own education class. So it's, you don't know. You don't know who you're going to inspire just by one meeting or hosting one book club.
Yeah. And you, some people may say, yeah, there's already plenty of education out there. I don't need to create anything new or, you know, similar, whatever. But everyone's kind of got their own little way of how they explain stuff. And so don't be discouraged if you're, people are already doing kind of the same stuff in the space. You might just hit something on a different note that'll work perfect for the next person. So I just really want to encourage anyone, if they have any ideas to building things, like build and continue to move forward. So.
Yep. Well, right now is the perfect time because builders build in bear markets, right?
Yeah. So, Bitcoin winter, man. This is build time.
You got to have something to look forward to during these down times. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say thank you for joining me, Liz and Jake. I appreciate you doing this. Why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners how they could get a hold of Charlotte Bitcoin. And just kind of, once again, why don't you chill out your Halloween event as well.
All right.
Yeah, so you can find us. We're on Instagram at Bitcoin Charlotte. On Twitter at Bitcoin_CLT, and our website is bitcoincharlotte.org, and we also video almost all of our events, so you can see the archives there and see all of our past events. And we also have a Telegram group.
Yeah, which is used. Yeah, Telegram group is big. We have about 200 people in there. If you want to join the discussion there.
And then we have Halloween coming up October 21st and 22nd. It's a Bitcoin only celebration. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep. And that's Halloween.party.
Right on. Well, one more thing too. How do you guys sell more of those shirts? I really like your guys' logo.
All right. Yes, we are. We have a bunch of things in the roadmap here. We have some of these shirts, so just message us directly and we can get them out to you. But the long-term view for our website, we want to get a store going. We have other ideas for shirts and ideas and things that we want to get out to people. This one and the Miami one was especially a very big hit. It was, I don't know if you saw it, but it had Miami Vice colors on it. It was,
Those are popular. And those are hot sellers.
People love them. Yeah. So
yeah.
We might have some of those as well.
Cool. I'll have to send you some sets and you can send me one of those.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, thank you for joining me again. And this is all we got today on Hard Money, Hard Knocks. You can listen on Fountain App, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. And thank you for joining us. Keep stacking hard.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Shane.